The next matter before the court is 14963, Mowry versus Marine. The next matter is 14963, Mowry versus Marine. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, Andrew Joyce for the appellant, Melissa O'Brien. I'd like to thank the court and Concordia University for having us today. To give the court a brief background of what this case is involving, this case involves a custody of a 5-year-old, at the time of the trial, was a 5-year-old girl, Ayanna Mowry. Ayanna was born in 2009 to the parties who were unmarried at the time of her birth. The parties remained romantically involved together until approximately March 2011, and then after that point, the parties separated, at which time Ayanna and her mother, my client, moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, where they lived up until December of 2013, where at that point, Jeremiah, the appellee, filed a motion for ex parte custody and to establish permanent custody of Ayanna. And after 2 days of trial, the court eventually awarded permanent custody of Ayanna to the appellee. And this is an appeal of that decision. And as this court is well aware, when it comes to matters of determining custody of a minor child, the paramount consideration is the best interest of that child. And the appellant believes that there are two major reasons why this decision was not in the best interest of a minor child. First, the district court's decision removed the minor child from her a person who was her primary caregiver for the last first 5 years almost of her life to a situation now where neither of her parents are her primary caregiver. And the second reason is that the court has now moved Ayanna into a situation where she's in an unstable home environment that's not in her best interest. And so for that reason, we've seen that already up to this point, the effect of this decision has been detrimental to her overall interest, and we think that it will only get worse as time goes on. And for this reason, we would ask the court to remand this decision and to award the appellant custody.
The items you're talking about, though, aren't part of our record. But they have been since this took place.
In 2013, which was a part of the record, was when Ayanna was taken from, or excuse me, when custody was changed from the appellant to the appellee. And I should touch on the fact that in 2009, when custody was, or I guess when this matter was originally adjudicated, the court did not make a determination on custody and parenting time, but that order, I believe, just touched on child support. But after they broke up in 2011 is when Ayanna moved with her mother to Lincoln, and where she resided for the duration until until this motion was filed for ex parte custody. And I think the biggest argument that the appellant has in this situation is that Melissa, the appellant, has been the primary caregiver for the majority of Ayanna's life and has done a very good job by all estimates. when the parties were dating, the evidence reveals that Melissa was the one that arranged the doctor's appointments and took her to the dentist. She was the one that gave her baths. Melissa was the one that cooked for her. Melissa was the one who got up and changed her at night, attended to her needs. And Ayanna was born prematurely, and Melissa was the one that put her career on hold and put her schooling on hold so that she could attend to those needs. And then even after the parties separated, Melissa continued to be the primary caregiver for Ayanna. Melissa was the one, she lived with her with Ayanna for 3 years before this temporary, ex parte motion was filed. And now, even when the ex parte motion, the temporary custody, was given to the appellee still isn't the primary caregiver of the minor child. It's his girlfriend, Lupe. Uncontroverted evidence shows that the appellee goes to work at 4:30 a.m. and doesn't return at times till 5 or 5:30. And so every morning, Lupe is the one that cooks her meals. Lupe is the one that takes her to school. Lupe is the one to pick her up from school. Lupe does her hair. In essence, Lupe is the appellee's girlfriend, is the one that's been her primary caregiver. And we essentially think that it's best that that the minor child's primary caregiver is her actual mother or her father, but in this instance, since the father is not the primary caregiver, we think that it's best that it be placed with a parent and not a girlfriend that might be gone tomorrow.
Counsel, do you think it's fair to say that the mother's involvement with known gang members and the other testimony that flowed concerning her having this relationship with the Mr. Sims, who has been in prison twice, gang members have actually lived in the home, had lived in the home with the child being there. I think there's even testimony maybe that the child left with them at times. What's your retort to that? Yeah. Number one, do you think that that's the motivating factor here that drove the judge's decision? And two, how do you rebut that?
Yes, Judge Arena, I think that really was the only consideration that resulted in this decision, because if you look at the other objective evidence, really Miss Maurer, or excuse me, Miss Levine has been a great parent. There's been no calls from Child Protective Services except for those made by the appellee, and all of those calls have been unfounded. And I do think that the former association with known gang members was in my opinion, the sole consideration for giving custody to the appellee. But uncontroverted evidence shows that Melissa's never been in a gang. She's never been associated with a gang. She has no criminal history. She has, I believe, a couple of driving matters, but she's never been convicted of any violent crimes.
Isn't the issue not whether or not she's involved with the gang, but that she associated with gang members and gang members were in the home?
Well, and I would also represent to the court that even before the motion for ex parte custody was filed, which was in December of 2013, she ended her relationship with this former gang member in October of 2013. And the issue really is that this gang member was in her life because he's the father of one of her children, and she's been fostering that relationship so that he can have a relationship with her. With his son.
Is that Mr. Sims?
Mr. Sines, yeah.
How do you say it?
I believe it's Sines, S-A-E-N-Z.
But didn't she also testify that she planned on continuing a relationship with him?
Not socially, just the only relationship that she's going to be maintaining up to this, you know, here forward is just going to be for his son, essentially. And so that's, excuse me, his daughter. So that's the only reason that they're going to be together. But in terms of a romantic involvement, they're not going to be together in terms of that. And she's acknowledged that this is an issue, and so she testified that she's going to take steps to limit the people that are going to be around her daughter. But, you know, really, if we want to talk about drug history or anything like that, or even associations, if you look at the instability of Jeremiah's home, he's had 12 people since the ex parte motion was entered. He had 12 people living in and out of his house. One of these people was Bryce Stewart, who had a colorful testimony at the court, and it was found that he's got a drug history. He's been convicted of drug possession, and he was in a musical group with the appellee that was called the Ya Ya Boys, that came out with a music tape called Midwest Meth, Bang It or Smoke It. So I don't think that if we're looking at the associations that she's had, I think we have to look at the associations that he has as well. And I believe that one of his people that he considers one of his brothers was Mr. Colliers, who also has a very violent history. And so I think that it's difficult to simply look at what she's, you know, her former associates or people with whom she's formerly associated with, and without looking at people that he is currently associated with.
It's not your argument that the judge failed to do that.
Well, it's my argument in essence that when looking at the weight of the evidence, that I think that the judge at the lower court level really did not put enough weight in the fact that she has been the primary caregiver up to this, you know, really for the majority of her life. And even at this point, Ayanna's primary caregiver is not Jeremiah, but it's his girlfriend. And so I think that given that instability that is present at the appellee's house, I think that it makes sense to give custody to the appellant in this matter. And I would also point out that once his girlfriend, the appellee's girlfriend, starts working, she's going to have to start working at 5:30 in the morning, and she's going to have to start taking Ayanna to daycare at 5:30 in the morning. And so this is going to be really presenting a tough and unstable situation. And what happens if she's no longer in the picture? What happens if they break up? The appellee had no retort for that. And so I think that the most stable and congruent situation for the best interest of the minor child is to keep, is to restore custody of her to her mother. And with that, I see that I'm close to being out of time, so unless there are any other questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Counsel, whenever you're ready.
May it please the court. My name is Jeff Courtney. I represent Jeremiah Mowry, who has been awarded custody of his daughter by Judge Astaire in Sarpy County after a two-day trial. A couple of things I need to clear up. Mr. Mowry and Ms. Lovren lived together for 1 year prior to them breaking up. The record supports this statement that they were both co-caregivers of Ayanna during that year. The record supports this statement that in the year prior to December 2013 ex parte order, they had a de facto joint custody arrangement whereby Mr. Mowry had Ayanna in his custody for possession for 3 or 4 days per week. As far as the gang affiliation is way over the top. The exhibits at the trial speak 1,000 words. The Latin Kings come out of Chicago, a street and prison gang. Sayens is a leader in that gang. Lancaster County District Court saw fit to imprison him as a teenager for almost 15 years for a violent crime. He gets out, moves into Ms. Lovren's house at her invitation with her 4 daughters. Then, in late November or early December of 2013, counsel states that Ms. Lovren has no affiliation with the Latin Kings. That night, when Granato and Sayens were arrested for first-degree assault on another rival gang member, they were out partying, and Ms. Lovren was with them. So to say that she has no affiliation with the gang is not true. We're here today because of a series of decisions or non-decisions by Ms. Lovren that put her children at risk, including Ayanna. First, and it's not just the gang. The brief by the appellant says, hey, all the judge did was look at the Latin Kings gang, but not just that. For the year prior to, or almost a year prior to the ex parte order, there was a headlights problem with Ayanna every weekend, every one. The only time it ever became eradicated was when Mr. Mowry took the medication and applied it to the child. She's not had problems since she's been in his care. And she has been in his care, and he is the primary caregiver since December of 2013, and we're almost coming up on 2 years now. And I don't, if counsel's suggesting that you uproot this child from a home in Papillion, where she's a first grader in the Papio School District, and she does well, and it was evident that she did well at trial, and, well, I'll go by, stick with the record. At the time of trial, she was doing well in school. As far as his girlfriend, Guadalupe Darris, of course she's going to be involved in some of the caregiving for Ayanna. They have a child of their own. So, I mean, it's a family unit. Not one parent does all the caregiving. I think that Ms. Lovren's choices over the course of Ayanna's lifetime indicate that it's not in Ayanna's best interest for the child to be in her custody. and I think that's clear. And I could recite for the record, but as Your Honor stated, this is being recorded. I don't need to blast it out into the public, but I will. Other than that, I will answer questions.
No further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You may step back. I don't believe the appellant has any time left. Okay. Very well, the matter will be deemed submitted. Thank you very much for being here today. We appreciate your efforts to be in Seward, and you're excused. Thank you.